Hello, Dale Partridge here. You're listening to an episode from the Real Christianity Archive. Veronica and I originally began this podcast under the name Ultimate Marriage as a resource for our online marriage mentor program found at ultimatemarriage.com. While our marriage program is still a critical part of our ministry, after about 30 episodes, we decided to change the name of this podcast to Real Christianity as a way to widen the scope of our biblical content. That said, these are some of our most popular episodes, so please enjoy and stay with us on the journey to bring the church back to the Bible. Welcome to Ultimate Marriage, a weekly show designed to replace the lies culture has told us about marriage and family with the raw truth found in the Bible. The premise is simple. Divorce is rising, families are falling, and the culture and even the church seems to be more confused than ever. My name is Dale Partridge, along with my incredible wife, Veronica. Join us as we start an important conversation about what it really means to have a Christian marriage. Welcome to Ultimate Marriage. Today, we're going to be talking about
how to walk out your biblical roles in marriage.
So, guys, we are excited to chat with you guys. Lots of you guys have been watching the episodes on YouTube. So, again, if you guys want to see our conversation live, if you're listening to it via podcast, we have a YouTube channel, and you can go to that and just look up Dale Partridge or Veronica Partridge and Ultimate Marriage, and you'll find our videos on that. So, another quick thing is thank you for all the reviews. Please just continue to leave a review. It really does help the exposure of the show and allows Veronica and I to kind of have an audience to continue this content to get out to. So today we're going to be talking about biblical roles, man and wife, husband and wife. These are difficult conversations. And the culture has created a lot of confusion around what it means to be a husband and a wife and what those roles specifically look like. And sadly, many Christians have actually adopted the culture's practice and structure for marriage. We've seen this a lot in the church. It's actually a pretty common thing. And the confusion, though, is actually so painful that it's compelling a lot of Christian couples to seek out what the Bible actually says about roles. What does the Bible say about biblical roles for a husband and a wife inside their marriage? And I want to talk about this just for a second. So, yeah, what happens when you don't know your role at work?
You're unsuccessful. You get fired.
You lose your job. So your role is it's critical to understand your role in a marriage. And the purpose of a role is to be able to have a clearly identified path to success. That's what the roles do for you. And it really gives you that clarity and understanding on how to win. Now, for marriage, what does success look like in a biblical marriage? In my experience and my understanding of the word, it's to become one flesh. That is the goal, is that two shall become one. And not only that, it's to represent the ultimate marriage between Christ and his bride. That's why we've called this our website and our podcast Ultimate Marriage. It's a call to the ultimate marriage, which is between Christ and his church, Christ and his bride. And so our goal should be that we might properly represent the ultimate marriage, meaning that our marriage will look like the gospel. Our marriage, when you look at our marriage, you'll actually see Christ and his bride walking out those biblical roles and really showing those to the world. So,
yeah, exactly. So before Dale and I were married and before we started walking out our biblical roles, it was kind of a disaster. Mm-hmm. Our marriage was unstable. It was unfruitful. And ultimately, it almost felt like the first couple of years that we always had this like other option in the back of our head, like, okay, are we really going to stay in this and fight through this and figure it out? Or are we just going to get divorced? There was no security.
Yeah, there's no security. Yeah. And, you know, what we learned is that roles bring structure, and structure brings clarity. Structure brings security. I mean, that's what really I think this did for us. And security brings fruitfulness. We were finally capable and allowed to be fruitful and actually have that
part of our
marriage. And
speak into other people's lives. We're now walking it out in our own marriage, and we're able to witness to other people and talk to other people and encourage other people who are walking in similar paths that we were walking, and how far we have come and how far we've grown through those.
Yeah.
Problems.
If you don't have fruitfulness, you don't have any authority to speak on. I mean, sure, you can share God's word, but they're looking for your experience and what that might look like for you. So we can't forget that all of God's doctrine is motivated by love. Okay, that's an important thing to remember, that all of God, if God is love, then all of God's doctrine is motivated by love. And that means that his commands, they aren't really demands. They're actually signs of affection. And we have to remember as Christians that our marriage, we're the beneficiaries of obedience. It's not God. Mm-hmm. Like, we get the benefit when we are obedient to God's word. I'll tell you what, it's way harder to live a life disobedient to God than it is to live a life obedient to God. And the same is true for your marriage. So let's take a quick look on what the Bible says about biblical roles. We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, where the classic kind of breakdown of what the marital roles are. I believe these are authoritative on how we should live as Christians. I don't think these are for a time prior to now. I think these are universal principles for local application for the Church of Jesus Christ. So Veronica is going to go ahead and start us off.
Yeah. So Ephesians 5, like Dale said, it starts off with wives. So I'm going to go ahead and read that scripture. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything." Okay, so a few things. This isn't telling women to submit to all men.
Yeah.
It's telling wives to submit to their own husbands. So when us wives make a commitment to our husband before God, we are vowing to submit to this man's leadership, his authority, mm-hmm. and his protection for the rest of our lives. And what an honor and a privilege that is. It truly is. Mm-hmm.
I want to stop you real quick, because that's a good point in terms of having a heart where you can be a wife and look at it as a privilege to follow a godly man, or just to follow a man in general, it's a big deal. That's big time maturity. And so I just wanted to note that. That's a big concept that, like, it takes time to get your heart there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and the part where it says, as to the Lord. Mm-hmm. A Christian wife needs to submit to her husband in the same way she submits to Christ.
Yeah. And this is a bold statement. Okay. Like a big statement.
And it's a hard one to swallow.
Yeah. And how does that make you feel at first when you read that?
It's heavy. It's a big calling to submit to your own husband as if I were submitting to God himself.
Yeah. This is a big deal. And this should scare the pants off of a man in terms of just the responsibility required to fulfill that type of call, that your wife is to submit to you as to the Lord. Dude, you should be freaking out, because that is a huge responsibility to make sure you steward correctly.
Yeah. So it doesn't say submit to your husband only if he's following the word of God, only if he's fulfilling all of your love languages, only if he is catering to your every desire, want, and need. Mm-hmm. It says to submit to your own husband, and that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's what our direction from the Lord is. Yeah. That's what it says in the word. And if we love him, we keep his commands.
Yeah. Plain and simple, right? If you love Jesus, you'll keep his commandments. And that is the way that we show our love for Jesus. It's not some emotional reciprocating relationship. No, it's if you love him, you're going to keep his commandments. That is what he says. He would rather you keep his commandments as a way to show him your love.
Regardless. if your husband's fulfilling his role or not.
Regardless.
But don't worry. The men have instruction from the Lord as well.
Yeah, and it's not easy instruction. So we're going to talk about that in a second. So when it says that for the husband is the head of the wife, men, you are the spiritual head. It doesn't mean that you have any more value before the Lord. It's not hierarchical. The idea is that it's equal value, but different roles. It's headship. It is what's called derived authority. And derived authority means that do I have any authority that comes from my own behalf on my wife? No. The only authority that I have is from Christ. The only authority that Christ has is from God the Father. And so this is a derived authority from God. And so when you kind of get your heart in that position, it's not something that you lord it over. You don't have the right to lord it over her. But it is a derived authority that your wife will walk in submission to if she's a biblical woman. And when it says he's the savior of the body, and as Christ exercises authority over the church, with the purpose of to save and protect the church, that is your job as a husband, is to walk in a way that would save and protect your wife. So again, we are mimicking the ultimate marriage. That is what we're doing here inside of our marriages.
Yeah. And then the last part of that scripture.
Go ahead. Sorry. I'm moving our notes here, guys, but it's okay.
You do.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. So this means submitting to your husband in all things that are lawful.
Yes.
Lawful things.
Yeah.
Scripture. It says you don't need to submit to your husband in something that is illegal or immoral.
Yeah. If your husband comes to you and says, "Oh, we want to go to this sex party." Yeah, you don't have to submit to that. Oh, if you need to, hey, let's go to this, worship these other gods. You don't need to submit to that.
And submit to the word of God first.
Yeah, you get to submit to the word, but there's a lot in the word of God, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot in what is lawful. And so that is definitely a part of that. And so, if a husband's saying, no, you can't pray, or no, you can't read the Bible, or you can't, worship God in that way. Like, those are things that are outside of that command. I believe that there's the freedom to do those things. And your loyalty is to Christ, and then it is to your husband, and then it is to your children, and then it is to your ministry and to your community, all those different things. So it is a scripture worth studying for sure. But we wanted to be clear that it's not in submission to all things, including things that are going to be dangerous to your soul. So a quick quote that I have here is that the safest place for a wife is to be in the effort of trying to walk out your biblical role. That is the safest place for a wife to be. And is your flesh going to hate it as a woman?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is a hard thing. In your flesh as a woman to walk that out, it's scary. There's nothing scarier than following a man who's not following God. Hey, Dale Partridge here. We hope this podcast has been a blessing to your marriage. For those that don't know, Ultimate Marriage is a ministry under our nonprofit, relearnchurch.org. I'm telling you this because we're a listener-supported podcast. It takes a small team, a serious amount of equipment, and several hours per week to keep this show going. Now, we tell you this because Veronica and I would like to grow the reach of this show so that it might help even more couples understand the Bible's design for marriage. So if you're a regular listener of this podcast, would you consider supporting us in this ministry effort? We're not asking for much, maybe $5, $10, or $25 per month. I promise that your support will help us continue to get God's truth out, to save marriages and strengthen families. If you feel led to make a donation, simply go to relearnchurch.org/donate. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/donate. Thank you so much for your consideration. And in Genesis 3:16, I want to remind you guys of God's sentencing to Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden. And he says to the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." The desire is the woman's desire and her flesh, not in the spirit. Remember, if you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of your flesh. in her flesh, she will want to take my position as leader and to not walk in submission to me. So that's what that scripture is saying. I think we should talk about the guys.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we're going to talk about the guys real quick, husbands. So I'm going to hit you guys pretty hard.
I said you would.
So. Yeah. And we're also going to have conversation after. We have some questions. Remember, we do two questions every episode. And Veronica has a really great question that she's going to answer. And so do I. So stay tuned for that. So Ephesians 5:25 through 27, it's just the following verses right after the scripture that Veronica read. And it goes, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. All right. Why did God give himself up for the church?
So that he may sanctify her.
And save her. Yeah. And so this is exactly the purpose. And God is telling the men to mimic the relationship between Christ and the church. God gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, that he might tell her the truth through his word, that he might cleanse her, that he might save her from hell, that he might save her from evil. That is why he gave himself up for her. And so men, if you're not providing a home or a social life or a community or an environment that brings your wife closer to God, that protects her salvation, that offers her all she needs to be close with God, then you're actually being disobedient as a husband. This scripture is calling you to do that. That is the posture of a godly, biblical husband, is to make sure that you're ordering a life and creating a life and leading a life that your only priority is to make sure that your wife is getting closer with God. That is your priority as a godly, biblical husband. And if you're not teaching your husband, or you're teaching your wife the scriptures, this is something that for a long time I didn't do this. But it says to wash your wife's mind with the water by the word. That's the call here. Are you washing your wife's mind with God's truth? Because I'll tell you, every week the world is trying to muddy your wife's brain up with lies. Mm-hmm. And that's important. Veronica and I have walked this out. I'm constantly trying to bring her back to the truth. If she has an insecurity, or if she has a doubt, or if she's believing wrong about something, it's my job as the husband in our marriage to do that, to wash her mind with truth. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not doing that, you are walking contrary to the scripture, and that is not okay. So again, your number one mission on this earth is to provide a place, a marriage that brings your wife closer to God. That is your role.
Yeah. So what does that look like in our marriage? Because I know a lot of people are probably thinking that. So yeah. How do you walk these steps out practically? What does that look like? So at least for me, yeah. I know that I'll seek Dale's counsel. I'll seek his leadership. Mm-hmm. Seek his leadership for the vision of our home, mm-hmm. and for our family. And I know Dale not only reads the Bible to our kids every day, but I'll sit in and I'll listen to that. But you also will read scripture to me, or when he's going over his sermons, I can hear you practicing. If I have a question, I'll ask you, and yep. you will always provide me an answer. Even if you don't know the answer right away, you'll seek it.
Mm-hmm. And you, there's, I mean, like, what do you feel like that does to me when you seek my vision and my advice?
I think it makes you feel honored, mm-hmm. and respected.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
and it encourages you to grow without me forcing you and pushing you to do that.
Yeah. Questions and seeking your, as a wife, seeking your husband out for direction. Oh gosh, what a godly thing. Just the same way that we seek out Christ. Right? We seek out Christ for direction. We go, God, tell us, what should we do? You know, what does your word say? The same way you seek out Christ, women, you need to be seeking out your husband's counsel in that way. And just walking in that manner. Now is your husband God? No. But he is to be representing that relationship with one another. And so what does that look like in our marriage? I mean, it's definitely for me, it's making sure that she's in a biblical community We're not in a church that looks just like the culture. We're not in a church where she doesn't have an older woman that can't speak into her life. We're not in a church that people are walking in unrepentant sin. We're in a community of people who are walking out their biblical roles. I sought that out. I make sure that we are surrounded with good friends who care about us and love us enough to tell us the truth and speak truth into our lives. Mm-hmm. We have friends that show up, right?
Yes.
And show up when it's hard and they tell us the truth. How has that been beneficial for us, just having that?
I think it just provides, you can just see their loyalty mm-hmm. to you. They're faithful in their friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're just, and how many people don't have this?
Oh, it's sad. It's a ridiculous amount. I obviously don't know, but tons, thousands, hundreds yeah. of thousands.
And we get emails from people that are turning to us because they don't have anybody else to turn to in their life. Mm-hmm. And it's a really sad thing. So again, I think these are just, we wanted to go over the basics. What is the basics of biblical roles? And it's really based in submission and seeking the headship as a wife and walking out that role there. And then, you know, what this does really for a woman is that if you're a natural leader, if you're a extrovert, if you know the scriptures more than your husband, it really eliminates, like, you can't walk in that manner. You need to actually allow your husband to lead. And you've seen this before. What's been your experience, babe, on just seeing women that have just not allowed their husband to do that?
And you just can see the tension in their relationship, especially if the woman is a little bit more headstrong than the man, and the man can be a little bit more passive, which is pretty common. Mm-hmm. You can just sense that he's uncomfortable. He doesn't like this, mm-hmm. but he's also uncomfortable to take the lead.
Yeah.
He might be even scared.
Yeah.
Because of the wrath or the, I don't know, the result of confronting his wife with this conversation.
Yeah. And the feminist culture doesn't help. Yeah. It makes you believe that, yeah, you're, you know, men are worthless and we're dumb and we had to be put in our place and all these different things that culture's against you. But I'm saying, women, you need to allow your husband to walk in that role, teach him, encourage him, allow him to be there, follow him, serve him in that manner. That really changes that. And then husbands, step up your game, okay? Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Make sure that your priorities are set to love your wife in a way that you're it's not about you.
It's a lot easier to submit to a husband when you feel cared for and loved and cherished by your husband.
Yeah. And it's a lot easier to walk and love your wife when you feel respected. And when she's walking out her biblical role. And I'll tell you guys, this changed our marriage. Mm-hmm. It's simple. You can take a study on this for 100 pages in a book. You can take a study on this that's way deeper than what we talked about today. But it's, I'm telling you, consider walking out strictly your biblical roles. Okay, moving on.
Moving on.
We're going to talk about questions.
A couple of questions. So one of the questions that I get pretty often is, how can I stay loving towards my husband during the times when my mood is being negatively affected by hormonal changes or imbalances, which cause me to feel irritated and angry towards him?
Veronica's never dealt with this.
Never, ever, ever. I have had 3 children. Hormones are crazy. Yeah. I totally understand. I can totally empathize with you. I have been there. I have succeeded and I have failed in this area multiple times. So for me, when I am confronted with these irritations where all of a sudden Dale just walks in the room and I'm instantly just like mad for no reason or whatever, I remind myself of what the scriptures teach, of what the scripture says is true. I will typically cling to a few scriptures that I'll write down that are really speaking to me in that season of life. Mm-hmm. And I'll just read those over and over again. I think about how God wants me to respond mm-hmm. and not how my flesh desires to respond.
Yeah, you're not being obedient to your husband. You're being obedient to God the same way as that our children, when they're disobedient, they're not being disobedient to us. They're being disobedient to God. And the same thing is true with that relationship between husband and wife.
Right. And the difficulty of obedience doesn't remove the duty of obedience.
Yeah, this is a huge point right there. The difficulty of obedience doesn't remove the duty of obedience. If you're only obedient when things are easy, then you're not obedient. That's called conditional obedience. This is like, you know, think about in war, like, oh, you can follow the rules when you're a boot camp, but you can't follow the rules when you're in war. You're going to die. You're going to fail. And so it's very difficult.
Yeah. It's like telling your kids, hey kids, go get in the car. We're going to Disneyland. Like, are they being obedient?
No, they're excited to get into the car,
yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, that's not obedience. Obedience is go downstairs and clean up the room. And they actually do that, you know? Okay. So that's a good question. I think Veronica does a really good job at walking that out. Is just
most of the time, not always,
not all the time, but it's not an emotional spiritual journey.
You have the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control.
Yes.
So if your husband walks in, your kids walk in, and you're hormonal and you're frustrated and you're angry, you get to walk in self-control and patience and kindness and love and gentleness.
Yeah. These are the fruits of the Spirit. So my question for this question, and if you guys have questions, all you have to do is just write your questions to support@ultimatemarriage.com, and we will hear your questions. And that's how these questions are here. We'll keep you guys anonymous. We'll answer this question in the show. We get a lot of them and we only get to pick two, every week. So some guy writes me, he says, Dale, I struggle with pornography and I know it hurts my wife. Any recommendations on how to quit? Okay, this is a very common question, sadly, that we get from lots of husbands and wives, wives on behalf of themselves and wives on behalf of their husbands sometimes. So first off is that you don't have a porn problem. You have a sin problem. You are not addicted to pornography. Addiction is a biological response to sin. That is what addiction is, a biological response to sin. God didn't give you the gospel that says, you're free from everything. You're free indeed, unless you're addicted. No, you're free. You're free to be obedient. You have the power. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. If you believe wrong, you'll never live strong. So remember that. So a couple other things. Sin doesn't happen to us. We choose it. We don't have sin that just like bounces and pounces on us. Temptation does. But temptation even hit Jesus, but he didn't sin. And so, sin doesn't happen to us. We choose it. You are choosing to look at pornography. That is what's happening. You need to recognize that. And you're choosing to sin. And we're not victims to sin. We're victors over it. It's the scriptures say that we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We're not victims to sin. You're a victor over it. You can stop looking at pornography. I promise you. That's the thing.
Self-control.
Self-control. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a big thing. It's just that if the gospel doesn't free you from this, then what is the gospel? Like if it can't free you from this sin, but every other sin, like no, the gospel frees you from all sin. And that's the power. You can walk in it. The solution of it all comes in repentance. And right now, brother, if you're walking in unrepentant sin, meaning that you continue to look at pornography week after week, I don't know how many unrepentant sinners are in heaven, but you can take a guess. I mean, I think that there's zero there. And now this is it could be a big debate on the once saved, always saved. I just go, one of the key parts of the gospel, one of the main things that Jesus says is repent. And repent means to turn away from. And there's a big difference between the guy who sins, walks down the road, slips into the mud puddle, falls in the mud puddle, gets up, wipes the mud off, and then keeps walking forward. There's that guy. And that's pretty much how life goes. You walk, you slip in the mud. Oh, crap. Repent. Sorry, got it. That shouldn't have happened. You wipe yourself off and you walk another 100 miles. There's a big difference between that guy spiritually and the guy who says, I'm walking, I get to the mud puddle, I actually stay at the mud puddle. I jump in and out of the mud puddle every single day. I brought a beach towel to the mud puddle, and I'm going to hang out at the mud puddle. There's a big difference between the repentance of that guy and the repentance of the other guy. One guy's apologetic, the other guy's repentant. And repentance is a key part of being right with God and salvation. So I would just, at the very least, be freaked out. At the very least, have the fear of the Lord there. And so that's my answer. So hopefully that helps bring some freedoms to anybody that's struggling with pornography. So
yeah, again, so if you guys have any more questions, go ahead and email them to us. So memory verse.
We forgot
to give you guys your memory verse last week. Everyone was writing us and saying, what was this week's memory verse? We totally forgot.
Week 2. This is how bad we are at this.
Okay, we're still getting used to this. At least I am.
Yeah. So give the ladies.
The ladies' memory verse. I'm sure you can guess what it is. It's what we went over today. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 5:22-24. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Yeah. So awesome. And then the men's scripture is the men's scripture. I'm going to read it again for you guys. It's Ephesians 5:25-27. It's husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So memorize those verses. You can't fight against lies if you don't have the truth memorized. And so it's really helpful for that process of memorizing scripture.
One last thing before we wrap up the show. For those people who are watching this on YouTube, do you want to explain what's on your head?
Oh, gosh. I know, right? I had skin cancer on my forehead that needed to be removed, surgically removed. And I got that done. I should have put this
on
in the
Monday.
Beginning. Yeah, I got it done on Monday.
But I figured for all those who are watching this visually on YouTube, they might be distracted this whole time.
Yeah.
Just taking a ear for it.
I got a Band-Aid on my forehead right now, guys. And so, yeah.
Those who are just listening.
What did it look like?
Dale basically looked like he just had a straight bullet hole, like a dime size hole in his forehead.
They took
maybe not that quite big, but well, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. A chunk of skin out of my forehead, almost down to my skull.
Perfect circle, just straight in the middle of your forehead.
Yeah. So I'm like, it's like my old unicorns area. But anyway, so that's what's going on. But I'm good. I don't have skin cancer anymore.
Cancer free now.
Cancer free now. Big deal. And
praise God.
Yeah. Praise God.
They got it all.
So again, as we close out the show today, again, if you guys would take a minute, you don't even need to leave a written review. Just go to iTunes and just hit how many stars you would rate the show. That would really help us if you guys would leave those reviews. It does actually help the exposure of the show. And if you guys want to watch this, you guys can go to ultimatemarriage.com and you go to the podcast. And you guys can watch the video there. You can subscribe on YouTube. And we have all the show notes, all the quotes that we said, all the scriptures that we reference, all of those are there for every single episode that we've done. The video is embedded into the post as well. So it's available to you guys. So I think that's it. We'll have another episode. Next episode's going to be awesome. So I just encourage you guys to make sure that you guys every Wednesday put it in your phone to come watch the show or listen to the show on the podcast. So until next time.
Hey, Dale Partridge here. I think Christians underestimate the influence the culture can have on us. I think without even noticing, many of us have traded this incredible life God wants for us for an empty counterfeit. If you haven't realized, the church has become comfortable with things we shouldn't be comfortable with. We've normalized things in our work, our marriages, our families, and our finances that are not normal. But the question I have for you is this: what does the Bible say about what's normal? What kind of life should Christians be chasing? Now, what if I told you that what's popular isn't superior? What if I told you that what seems smart isn't actually right? What if I told you that the world's view of success is actually God's definition of failure? The Bible says that the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. So what if we're doing it wrong? What if the lives who follow Jesus look more like the culture than like Christ? What if the life we're so desperate to have isn't something to seek after, but to be saved from? I answer these questions in my latest book, Saved from Success, How God Can Free You from Culture's Distortion of Family, Work, and the Good Life. It's short, it's convicting, and it's a bold book. Get your copy in hardback or audiobook at ultimatemarriage.com/success. Again, that's ultimatemarriage.com/success.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Ultimate Marriage. If you're homesick for a stronger marriage, visit our website at ultimatemarriage.com and consider enrolling in our one-year online marriage mentor program. Also, if you're interested in learning more about building a better marriage, follow Veronica and I on social media, where each week we share tips, tricks, and lessons on building a biblical marriage.